welcome once again to the podcast On Location with Martin Jorgensen. This time we're on a really, truly exotic location, at least to most of you, because we're in my bedroom. The bedroom is going to be my studio today, and I am going to take pictures of gear that I want to sell. And the reason that I think that is interesting is actually because most of the pictures that I see of photo gear that people are trying to sell are really lousy pictures. And my personal opinion is that lousy pictures will not sell much gear, or at least lousy pictures may fetch a lower price. So if you want to sell your photo gear online and show people pictures of it, you might as well take some neat pictures and present the gear in a proper way, because that will probably get you more attention and maybe even get you higher prices. So, why the bedroom, you may ask? Well, I usually do this on the top of the table in the living room. It doesn't require a lot of space, and I have a setup that actually contains the whole thing in a very small package. But today I'm recording, and of course there's a bit more noise in the living room, and also this bedroom is actually full of blankets and mattresses and what have you, which gives a sound which is a bit better than it would in the living room. So that's the reason why. But this could just as well be done in your garage or in your outhouse or in your living room or wherever you have the space. You need a decent amount of space, not much, but you need some room to have a tripod set up and some flash equipment, and you also need a bit of distance, of course. And that's basically it. The light that I'm using today is flash only, so ambient light doesn't really mean a lot. You can do this in ambient light outdoors. I have actually taken a lot of nice pictures like these under a big sunscreen outdoors. I mean, like a big umbrella, wide umbrella, which diffuses the light really well. The umbrella is usually used for shading the table when we eat outdoors, but it serves very well as a great silk, as it's called in the photo lingo. A silk will soften up the light, so if you have direct sun, you will actually get some really soft and nice light. Also, you could shoot, of course, under an overcast sky. That would be nice too. In this case, I'm shooting indoors. I'm using flash. I'm using two flashes in this case, but one can actually do. And I can control the light myself, so I can produce very uniform results and get the same pictures that I want of everything. Okay, let me describe what I have done here. My studio is actually a cardboard box, which I rebuilt to become a small light box. The light box is basically a means to get an even and well-distributed light. It's the cardboard box which once contained a television of the old-fashioned kind, meaning that this is a big square box. I cut out the sides on the front where I'm going to take the pictures through, and on the top and on the left and right hand side, the back I left and the bottom I left. In the top and in the sides, I taped the thing over with the openings that I cut. I taped them over with some tissue paper or some translucent paper. This paper is actually something that my girlfriend uses when she creates patterns for clothes. So it comes in big sheets. Actually, I think this came in a big roll, and I fiddled around with that and found out that if I use two layers of this semi-translucent paper, I got a fairly nice even diffusion of the light. I also put a piece of white paper inside. This is just a sheet of clean white paper that creates a soft background, kind of a curved background that can help me avoid shadows in the picture. And that's basically it. I think their material will run me about $2-3 or something like that. It's as close to free as you can get. So what I do is put my stuff inside. It takes only smaller items, of course. Lenses and cameras are no problem. I use it for all kinds of small things, but in essence, anything above like 10, 12 inches would be a problem. That will be too big. But, well, you can build a bigger one if you can find a bigger cardboard box, of course. And I usually just use one single flash, which I put on top of this box, just shining down on the tissue paper, and the tissue paper will spread out the light. In this case, I've put a second flash on the side of the box, pointing to one of the sides, and I've drawn that flash down just 3/4 of an f-stop compared to the other one, meaning that there will be a bit of side light, maybe creating a bit of texture or something, a 3D effect, I could easily do with one flash only. I've put my camera on a tripod and I will just leave it there. I probably won't touch that much. And in this case, I have actually connected the camera to my laptop computer, which is just next to the tripod. I will shoot what is referred to as tethered, but in a very primitive way. The reason that I do that is that I want to check the quality of the images immediately. But I'm not going to use the Nikon camera remote software, which is possible with the Nikon D200 that I'm shooting with. I'll return to that software later and probably cover how that can be used in many different ways. But in this case, I'm using a very primitive setup. I just connect the camera to the computer through a USB cable, and I just open the folder which contains the pictures. I'm on a Windows machine, so when I put in the camera in the USB connection, it just pops up and I double click it, and then it opens a folder with all the files that's on the card currently. And when I do that right now, I see the first few pictures that I have taken of the lens that I have in my light box. And if I double click on that, well, it opens in Photoshop as any other picture will do. So I can quickly assess the result, check out whether it's sharp or not, whether the depth of field is good enough, and quickly fool around with the light settings and get what I want. So, what I have is a bunch of lenses, flash, some accessories, and a camera body, which I all want to shoot so that they look like they came from the same session, which they of course do, and also so that you can actually see what's going on. I'm probably going to shoot more than one picture of each seen from different angles, and I certainly want to make sure that if there are any blemishes or scratches or, you know, dings and marks or whatever on the equipment, I want to take some close-ups of that. But my first criteria for good pictures when I want to sell something is actually that people are able to see what it is, see that it's in fairly good condition, and also I like that the pictures actually look like they were taken by somebody who knows how to take pictures. I think that gives a certain confidence by the buyer, and I think that's important if you want to fetch a good price for your stuff. On my D200, I have put my 17-55mm f2.8. This is quite a nice lens to use for this purpose. I could actually do with a very subtle less expensive solution, just using a 50mm f1.8. That would be a perfect lens for the purpose. What I want is a slight telephoto lens, because I don't want these lenses and the camera and the stuff to become all too distorted, and wide angles will do that for you. A slight telephoto lens will keep things in nice symmetry and perspective, and that's definitely what I want. I also want pictures where I have the black equipment, it's all black actually, nicely isolated on a white background with some discrete shadows underneath, and I can obtain that by using a white background and then have plenty of light. Taking pictures of black things is always a problem because you need quite a lot of light, and I will just make sure that that's the case. I also want to make sure that everything is sharp, so I'm going to shoot at aperture priority and make sure that the aperture is set quite high, probably f11 or 16 or something like that, but I will check in the computer when I've shot the picture that I actually get things sharp, because I definitely want people to be able to see things very sharp. And I will probably end the session with a macro lens on my camera, taking pictures of small things that I know that people notice or will ask for. And that's typically how does the front and rear elements of the lenses look? Are there any scratches? And if there are scratches or cracks or anything like that, I want to document them and take pictures of them. And that usually calls for a macro. I actually have quite a lot of confidence in the 17-55. It's able to go quite close, and I'm almost sure I would be able to use that. But just in case, I have a 90mm macro that I can use for the purpose. My flashes I've set up, as I said, one on each side, one on the top and one on the side, and they're just put on a couple of glue clamps, which I have clamped onto a shelf and then onto a small old tripod that I have had almost all my life, which I use for stuff like that. It's a really wobbly little thing that's worth very little as a camera tripod, but for a lamp or a flash or anything like that, holding a background or whatever, it's perfect. And you will be able to see that on the pictures, how I set that up. I will also make sure that I get a close-up of my small glue clamp setup, which is quite simple, inexpensive way of giving you control over where you can place your flashes. These clamps will actually clamp onto tubes and shelves and anything that you want, and they can be unscrewed quickly so that you just put your flashes on a table or a horizontal surface. I'm shooting using the built-in control of the Nikon D200 and these two SB800 flashes. I have radio remotes for the setup, but this is so much easier, and as long as I'm indoors, it's no problem. The reach is fine and I can control the flash very well. One thing that I have done in order to make sure that I get well-dispersed light is actually shut off the built-in flash, meaning that if you go into the menu, I can run you through this setup. If you want to use the flash in remote, what you need to do is pop the built-in flash of your D200 and turn on your SB600 or 800 and set that to be a slave in the command mode. That's done on the back of the flash when you go through the menus there. On your D200 or whatever camera you have, you then go into the bracketing flash menu and you can set there the, what's it called? It's called the built-in flash menu. In there you can decide that you want to run it in commander mode, and on the D200 you then get into a menu where you can control the flashes in several groups. It's a bit complex to describe on a sound recording here, but one thing that you probably want to do is to turn down the built-in flash. You can actually run through different settings, and one setting for the built-in flash is just two dashes. And the dashes mean that the built-in flash will not influence the picture. So it still controls the external flash or the external flashes, but it doesn't pop itself when you shoot in the moment that the exposure is made, so that it doesn't influence the picture itself. Because one problem in shooting pictures like this one, where you want a nice, even and soft light, is that if the built-in flash pops, it actually gives quite a harsh shadow, and you don't want that. You can also overcome that in different other ways. One way is by buying a small infrared screen that you can set in front of the flash. I actually have one of those, but this setting where you can take off the flash is much easier to use. But the infrared filter is of course a solution too. You could buy any infrared filter and just tape it over. Your external flashes will still be able to see the flash that controls them, but on the picture it will have no influence. So, as I said, two external flashes, the internal flash set up as a commander, and actually that's it. I'm ready to shoot. I just need to dial up the aperture on my lens, set the priority mode to aperture priority, and then shoot away and see what I get, which I will do now. Well, I'm now pretty satisfied with the sharpness of my pictures, but I think they're just a bit on the dark side, and that might be because I almost always set my camera to underexpose just a bit. In this case, there's no reason to do that because the details that I want are actually in the dark areas, so I'm probably going to set it either to exposure spot on or maybe even overexpose a bit, because since I want the background pure white, I don't have any feelings for the details in the white background, which is going to be the lightest thing in my picture. So I'm just going to try to set it like 1/2 stop over. The flashes will take care of the exposure, and I will essentially just get a ton, hopefully a ton, of almost identically exposed pictures of all the equipment that I put in there. So now it's into production mode and just fire away. But before I do that, I'm going to attach a small remote control to my camera. I have a small radio transmitter remote control that I bought very inexpensively on eBay, and that one is actually going to be quite convenient because I don't have to go back to the camera every time and press the shutter release, meaning that I can just fiddle around with the computer and the gear that I'm taking pictures of, and then just press the shutter release. That's quite convenient. But of course, you can also use the built-in button of your camera and just press that. I mean, we're not talking huge distances here. There's probably just about a couple of feet or three between me, the computer, and the things that I'm shooting, but I still find it quite convenient to use the remote. So that I will do, and then shoot a lot of pictures. I'm fooling around now with some angles, taking pictures of the camera body now, and I'm not quite satisfied. It's a bit dark on the front side, on the business side, so to say, and it comes out a bit dark. And now I've laid it down on its back and just supported it with the strap, and it's actually not coming out as I wanted, so I may be forced to move the light around. But before I start moving the light, I just fool around with moving the camera, because it's actually a lot easier to move the camera than to move the light. So I'm just facing the camera into the flash, which is on the left hand side of the... Oh, that was better. That was a picture that brought out the details that I wanted. I'm probably going to shoot some close-ups too, so that people can see that the LCD screen isn't scratched or anything like that. This is, of course, it's a 6-megapixel digital SLR body with a vertical grip, so it's not an inexpensive item. And if I was going to buy a piece of equipment like that, I would definitely like to be able to see all the details and see that there were no scratches. And if there were, I wanted to see them. So that I will do afterwards, but until then I'll just grab another item, a small lens probably, and then just keep on shooting. Now where the setup is already, I can actually just shoot away, just place the things in there, press the shutter release, and then keep on going, because I don't have to worry about light or anything. One thing you definitely want to be sure of when you do this is actually just shooting bunches of uniform pictures, and you want to be positive that each picture is good, and that you don't have to worry about that. Shooting products is probably, if you ask professional photographers, one of the most boring things you can do, and it's a question of getting things to look right and then just shooting away in a hurry. In this case, I have a big lens which has a hood, one of these petal shaped hoods, and I want to put it on the hood so that it can be supported, and I can get it at an angle compared to just having it standing upright. And I can see again that this actually came out very dark on the front, so I'm just moving the flash, even though I didn't want to do that. I'm just moving the flash a bit to the front here and seeing what I can do, since my flashes are small and my studio setup here is in essence just a cardboard box. I'm very free to move things around. This is still a bit dark. I think I'll have to do something about the light in front here. Maybe the same trick as I did with the camera, just turn it into the light. I mean, nobody can see what the surroundings are anyway. Get rid of small hairs and all the stuff that I have there. Now I've turned the lens element into the light, and I will probably get something which is much better, and sure I did. That was good. And I'm going to turn it around so that few people can see the backside. I may actually want to put on the hood here and just make an illustration where people can see how that looks. Oops. Gotta be careful there. Like that. And it's locked on. This is a fairly big lens, an old 24 to 70 millimeter. All the gear that I'm selling here is actually not Nikon, so if anybody gets their mouthwater running, don't be too enthusiastic, because this is all old Minolta gear, which will work fine on any Minolta body of the autofocus type and of the new Sony bodies. So it's nothing that any Nikonian would probably be very interested in. And just to make sure, this is not going to be sold on the Nikonian site or anywhere like that. So it's not like I'm pushing this. This is because I want to illustrate how to take pictures, not because I want to sell the stuff to you guys. Okay, more stuff. Let's get on here. Flashes, cables, normal lens, macro lens. Gosh, to think what I have bought over the years. My god, it's terrible. So much gear. Well, back in production mode. I make it to a point where I need to be able to get a bit more control of the camera position. In that case, I of course just take the camera off the tripod and start shooting by hand. And that's in particular when I'm shooting macros. In that case, I just snap off the camera here. I have a quick release, and then I just go closer and I concentrate on details and just shoot all the details that I need. Turning the gear around and just getting close-ups of, as I said, scratches, blemishes, front lens elements and bayonets and what I need to be able to illustrate. And that's a lot easier when I have the camera and I can go close and just hold it in my hand. Luckily, I have the flashes that can freeze things, so I don't have to worry much about shaking the camera, because the flashes will basically freeze everything. So handheld and with a flash, that's quite nice, and it's very quick and easy when you need close-ups. Well, now I've shut off quite a few frames here, and before I get too far, I just want to make sure that what I seem to be able to see on the screen by quickly reviewing the pictures is actually true, meaning that I'm actually able to get nice pictures out of this. So I'll just open one of the pictures in Photoshop and quickly look at the results. What I'm most interested in is checking out whether the light is bright enough and I can actually get a white background as I want. And I will do that by using the levels quickly and just selecting the color picker and pick out what I want to be white and see whether it works. Good. That seems okay. I'm not really thrilled about the shadows. Here I have a picture of the flash, and it actually has quite a shadow, but I don't think I'm going to worry much about that. I can see the details, and I can see what I want to see, and I can bring up levels so that I can see details in the black and almost remove the background, and that's what I want. So I'll definitely show you on the sound slides that will accompany this podcast how I can manipulate the levels of these pictures very easily, because I have made sure that the background actually almost is gone already in the exposure, but still retaining some details in all the white and light parts of the cameras. Had I been taking pictures of white things here, I would have had a big problem. Black is actually quite thankful to photograph in this way, because the black will always retain most of its detail, almost no matter how much you blow your flashes. But if you have white stuff on a white background, you really have a problem. In that case, it's actually often an idea to go the opposite way, meaning that you put in a black background, and once you take the pictures, you try to get the surroundings to go pitch black. But that will not be this time. I have no white cameras, I have no white lenses, and because of that, it's all black and black, and I'm almost done. I just have a few things left that I need to shoot, and when I've done that, I will go to the computer and work on the things and make sure that you see pictures of my setup and my some of the results, and you may even get a picture of me and my camera and my remote control that you can enjoy yourself with. But that will be in the sound slides, and you can see them on the site by going to nikonians.org/onlocation, and there will be a link to the whole thing there. You can also go into the discussion forums and discuss these podcasts, suggest subjects, and comment on the whole setup. And you can, of course, ask me questions or whatever you want to. I will be back in another week with a new podcast. The subject is still to be disclosed, mainly because I don't know what it will be, but I'll find something. And until then, you can mail me at onlocation@nikonians.org. Or, as I said, participate in the forums, and have a nice time. Take a lot of pictures. Goodbye.